Yeah, and for some people, absolutely, that would be a traumatic thing, too traumatic to do,
yeah,
which
yeah.
I appreciate.
Yeah.
But I'll talk about all that later, in,
yeah.
You know, in the 3-hour podcast I'm doing for you. you'll have to edit this down, Hannah. I don't know how you're going to do it.
Hello, listeners. So far in this podcast, we've been talking about the incredibly interesting concept of nostalgia, which apparently has many psychological properties, including the ease of loneliness. And in a series focusing on living in the past, it plays a vital role. And whether that's anomoia, which is the feeling of longing for a past you haven't experienced, or a sentimental longing and wistful affection for a period in your past. Well, in this episode, I'm speaking to someone that takes nostalgia to a whole new level. Martin, a former actor, now theatrical agent, not only purchased back his old childhood home, but he recreated it in a wonderfully unique way. So thank you so much for being here, Martin.
Very welcome.
I'm obviously, you know, me and Martin are very, very, very good friends, and I have seen this house from when you very first moved into
on
what
the
it's
day.
On the day,
you
yeah.
You actually couldn't wait and turned up.
Well, you know, it was support. I wanted to support you and
you
be nosy.
Unpack, but you came and had a look.
Yeah, that's right.
That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah. But you know, the raw. I was here to support you and also be incredibly nosy.
And have a good look.
And how is it going? Because you're midway through.
Slowly. I wanted to say we're midway. I think we're about 15% of the way in. I think is fair, because when we bought it back, it needs a lot of work. It's not been. How can I put it? It's. I don't think it's been cherished for a long time.
Yes.
So it's lots of things have been left. It's had some very strange DIY jobs done to it. Obviously, somebody thought that was an improvement, and actually, it was taking 10 steps back. So we've got to get rid of all that stuff.
Yes.
And then, so a lot of it's been getting it to a blank canvas sort of stage. So we can begin to do what we want to do with it. It's a royal we, it's all me.
I was going to say, yeah, it's all you. You're directing, you're producing, this is your vision, I understand that. And how long was it out of your family before you came and got it back? So how long has it been out of your hands and out of your family's hands for these wonderful DIY choices to have been made?
Well, it was 30 years, and we found out with a little bit of delving into various things that it was 30 years to the week that I bought it, that we moved back in.
Wow.
So it was a very, very bizarre... It was a bizarre thing. It was 30 years. We moved out in 1992. That's me trying to knock years off my age there. 1992. And we moved back in 2022.
My goodness me. And how did you manage to... So what is the story? So what is your connection to this house from your childhood? Who had this house?
So this house is the house that my mum and dad bought, and it was the third house that they had together. But they first, this was a brand new estate. It was built in sort of the late 70s. And my mum and dad first moved onto the estate into a new house, a two-bed and terrace.
Yes.
Which is literally a stone's throw from here. It's behind this house.
Brilliant.
And that was their starter home, and they had their first child, my brother, in that house. And then when Mum fell pregnant with my sister, they thought we better move. So they moved into a 3-bed house on the same street.
Ah.
It was one of the small 3-bed houses.
Climbing the property ladder
Climbing
on the same
property
street.
Ladder. Yeah, exactly. And it was in that time when you could do that. I mean, now we're in a situation where it's impossible for people to get on the property ladder at the moment, you know.
It really is,
So it was relatively easy for them, even with, you know, limited income at that stage.
Yeah.
So they moved into the 3-bed house. So they were the second inhabitants to have number 27, as it was.
Oh.
And then they've been there a very short amount of time. And I think my dad had always had his eyes on owning one of these 4-bed houses.
Yes.
There's a number of 4-bed detached houses on this estate. So these were the posh houses.
Oh, yes.
This is where the posh people moved into. So I think he... I don't think my dad wasn't a particular climber or anything like that, but he did absolutely like to sort of elevate himself a little. And his growing up, his family never owned their own house. So I think him to own his own house was a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
So I think it was a bit of a dream for him to have a, a four-bed detached house, because that really meant you sort of made it.
I think it still means it now, to be honest.
It does, yeah. I think just buying a house means you've made it now.
That's very true.
Or even able to pay the rent, I think, means you're making it now.
Agreed on that one too.
But yeah, so they moved in. They'd been in that house a matter of months. Mm-hmm. And my mum surprised him with, and having surprised herself, because I was a surprise, she fell pregnant with me, and I was completely unplanned. I was the bonus one. And so...
What a joyous gift you were.
Well, you have to ask them that. But yes, so they very quickly were like, well, we're going to outgrow this house, because it was the small three-bed house. There's a number of sizes of three-bed houses on this development, and it was the small one. Mm. So you had a master bedroom, which wasn't particularly very large, a second bedroom that was just about a second bedroom, then a very, very small box room. So bringing another child into the equation my dad was talking to the postman when they used to stop and chat, when they had time to do that. And he says, oh, you know, we just bought this house, but my wife's pregnant again, whatever it was. And he says, oh, he says, well, actually, the guys at number 31 around the corner are leaving.
Oh, my gosh.
And so they went, oh, all right. And so to be nosy, they knocked on the door and says, I hear you're thinking of selling. Can we have a look? So this is the house. They had a look. They fell in love with it. They did the thing that you have to do back then, which is you spoke to somebody in a bank about a mortgage.
What?
And they said, yes, no, that's all fine. They were allowed to borrow the money. So they moved in. So my dad was really like, yes, we've made it. And
wow.
So I was here from just after birth.
Yes.
I was still at number 27 when I was born.
So this was your first home?
This was my first home.
Oh, my gosh.
So I've got no memories of any other house in this house as a child, a young child anyway. And then we got to, I would be about 8 years old.
Oh.
And they sold it, which is a whole other story about why they sold it. But we didn't move far. We moved down the road. So they sold the house, bought a house down the road that was on the market that was smaller for a couple of years. We were supposed to be there for a couple of years, and they stayed there until my dad died. So we were there for 20 odd years. And never left, basically. That's how we ended up with the house the first time.
So you moved out when you were 8 years old?
8 years old.
Temporarily to a house down the street.
That's
and
right.
Stayed there for 20 years?
Over 20 years, yeah.
Oh, that's always the way, isn't it? Life just... Best laid plans and all that.
Well, yeah, I think they were just done with moving at that point.
Yeah.
And my mum had changed jobs as well, and my dad's job was always changing. So yes. I think they just going, oh, sod it, we'll just stay.
And they're very formative years, like eight, you know, from birth to the age of eight. That's real childhood
well,
there, isn't it?
This is why this house is great, because they are the formative years. So all my memories of this house are these formative years. And so they're all the good.
Yes.
This is the good stuff. I know not everybody has a really happy childhood, I get
that. Of course.
But this was the environment before all the teenage angst sets in and all the traumas set in.
Yes.
And all the, you know. So this is just joyous. This is, you know, birthday parties with your primary school mates kind of situation.
Oh, my goodness.
This is where Santa came.
Of course, this is where Santa came. Absolutely.
And this is the house where everybody, bar my grandma on my dad's side, who passed away before, but this is the house where everybody gathered.
Oh, I love that.
You know.
What this dining room must have seen, the buffet.
The 1980s Christmas buffets with authentic 1980s Christmas entertainments, all in here, every birthday party, because we did hire a church hall a couple of times.
You've got to.
For parties, but in the lean months, we hosted our parties here. So we had, I don't know how we did it, but imagine all my schoolmates on a long... as everybody did then, but we had the dining table extended by a decorating table extended by a
and emergency chairs
all the way around.
Yeah.
I don't know how we all fitted, but we did.
I love
and there
that.
Are photos which I can bore you with later.
Oh,
but,
how fantastic! So how on earth did you come about refinding the house, or 30 years later being up for sale? Did you just keep an eye out for it for 30 years? How did you find it?
No, it wasn't for sale. That's the thing. And I do feel like I bullied the guy out of his house. But what happened
What happened was
I got married, and I was living with my husband in the flat that he had bought. It was his flat. Although technically when you get married, it does become yours as well. But it was very much the flat he bought.
Yes.
And it was coming to the end of the mortgage term on it, and it was a one bed ground floor, tiny, beautiful. I made it beautiful, but it was very, very small. And we got to the point where, as most people do when you're living in an apartment situation, which is technically what it was, you kind of you go, oh, I am a little bit tired of having somebody that side, upstairs.
Yes, yes.
Or three sides of you.
And it was such a beautiful, you had it so beautiful, but I understand what you mean.
I loved it. I didn't want to leave it. For lots of reasons, I didn't want to leave it. And one of the main reasons I didn't want to leave it was because it was built in 1979. So its architecture and its build was exactly the same as this house.
Oh, wow.
So it was the same sort of ceiling heights. It was the same metric doors that you can't replace because, you know, we can find metric doors, but very, very hard. It was just the same construction.
Yes.
So it felt very reminiscent of this house.
I love that.
So I didn't really particularly want to leave it. It was home to us, but we were the flat to the left and to the right and upstairs were buy to lets, and we were the only one that owned.
Ah, yes.
So we were having a lot of turnover.
All the time,
of tenants.
Yeah, and I have the same with my neighbours.
There you go. So you know.
Yes,
you know.
I really do, yeah.
And sometimes it's great.
Yes.
And sometimes it's indifferent.
Yes.
Which I don't really like. I like people to say hello.
Yes.
So I don't really do indifferent. You know, if someone's living there, I like to sort of know who they are and say hello.
Yeah.
I'm a bit of a social person.
Yeah.
And then sometimes it's a nightmare.
Yes.
Because you are just on different, you're in different stages of your life. We had somebody move in that was very, very, very young. And I felt really sorry for them having to live next door to me. because they wanted to have parties on a Friday and Saturday night. And they wanted to carry it on till 7 a.m. And of course, I worked.
Of course.
And so did my husband. And we were sort of, and our bedroom divided walls between their main living space.
Oh, no.
So,
it where was, the party was at.
Where the party was at. Oh. And of course, and they got quite, you know, boisterous. And it spelt into the, because we both had ground gardens.
Mm. You did, didn't you? With that with big rockery
That's
thing
it.
That
it
you had. It was great,
it?
Yeah.
And so they would spill outside in the height of summer. We had one teeny little window in our bedroom, which was useless in the boiling hot summers that we were having. And anyway, so they broke their windows one night. It was just quite raucous. So we were thinking, we're kind of out of demographic here. We're not fitting in here.
Yes.
So we decided we're going to get a house.
Yes.
So we were going to, and again, being a vintage lover, it was yourself. I was trying, if you remember, I was looking to buy this house, which was like a cottage in...
I remember it so well.
And
it
was
had
the green.
The green, I was going to say, it had the word green in it. And I went to see it as well.
That's
it was crazy, wasn't it? Yeah.
So, and
because I FaceTimed you when I realised it wasn't for me and my mum. And we were like, oh, no, this isn't for us. It's not going to work.
Yeah.
And I FaceTimed you because I wanted Martin to see if it would work for you Mark. And then you actually came and saw it, didn't you?
Or did, eventually,
yes.
Eventually, because I put a call in weeks before you were going.
Oh, that was it. And you couldn't get in.
And they were like, no, we've effectively sold it because we've got so many viewers.
Lies, all lies.
And I was
estate agents lie.
Well, quite. Other estate agents are available, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But we fell in love with this cottage.
Yes.
I forced it on my husband. And I loved it because the guy that had had it for years and years and years, and he'd had it till the day he died.
Yes.
And it was untouched. It was a home.
It really was.
But it needed a lot of work.
Yeah, massive
amount.
And
I said, well, we can make that work.
Yeah.
And it was in the middle of a town.
Yes.
But it was hundreds of years old. It was part of its original, but it was a village.
Yes.
So it's the last remnants
of it.
It
really was.
Village.
There was a little string of them, wasn't there? Yeah. And that was it.
And it was it. And it was surrounded by very, very tall, beautiful trees. You felt like you were somewhere in the Cotswolds.
You really did. That's what drew me and Mum in. And it was just, it was like, what do they call it? Chocolate box.
It really was.
Era, like,
it really
feel,
was.
Wasn't
it was
it?
A picture on a tin of a chocolate box.
It was,
really was.
Yeah.
So we eventually, because you did the view, you got a viewing, you went.
I did.
And then showed it on
tenacious
the
like that, you see.
So I tracked down the person that was responsible for it. So not the owner, because obviously the owner, bless his heart, had died. So it was the next of kin. I tracked them down and got in touch with them and said, look, your estate agent won't let me view, but I really, really would like to view. So we went and we offered on it. And they accepted our offer. I don't think anyone else had offered, so I don't know why the estate agent wasn't letting more viewings happen. Mm. But anyway, we offered, and we had the first survey done for the mortgage. All was fine.
Yep.
And for whatever reason, we still don't know, but I've been very unlucky with sort of mortgage applications. Everyone's been a bit complicated.
Yes.
But for some reason, they said, we want to send somebody back. I don't know why. So... they went back again.
Yes, they did. Yes, I remember this.
And they came back with a property value of zero. And I said, well, I don't understand it. And they said, well, the problem is it's a structural, and they found a massive structural problem with the house.
Yes.
Because of the way it was built.
That's right, yeah.
So it could only be a cash buy.
Oh.
So the only way we could do it was if we... is if the guy that was selling it, if he would literally come down so much on the
yes,
price.
Yes, yes.
But that was never going to happen.
No.
So it didn't happen. But we'd sold our flat.
I know. This was the major dilemma you were in. You were effectively homeless.
I was about to be.
Oh, my
So either
goodness.
We were going to say, we'll have to sort of like let down this person that we've really taken to that's going to buy our flat, because we wanted our flat to go to a company that was going to live in it.
Yes.
And all we kept having was offers from buy-to-letters, and they were offering above and beyond what we were asking.
Yes.
So it was very hard, very tempting.
Yes.
But it was like, no, we don't want that. We really don't want that. And this lovely single lady came in. And she wanted to make it her home.
Oh.
And so she offered what we were asking. Mm. And we thought, well, she wants it, so she's not going to mess us around.
Yes. And when you're sentimental saps like us, you want it to go to someone who's going to make it a home because it was once your home.
Yeah.
It's like if me and Mum ever sold, I don't even know how we're going to do it. But, you know, because...
Well, you won't, will you?
I don't think we ever will. I really, really don't. But if we ever did... It can't go to a buy-to-letter. It can't.
No.
It has to go to someone who's going to use it as a home. So I completely understand. So you really wanted to have it, didn't you?
So yeah, we did. So we, in a weekend, because we found out they weren't going to lend on the house on the Thursday or the Friday. And by the Monday, we had to find somewhere. So we went to view a house that its purchaser had fallen through, so back on the market.
Yeah.
It was, again, a similar situation. A lady had passed away and her son had... Rather than just sell it,
yes,
I kind of wish he just had sold it. Mm. But he renovated it.
Yes.
So it was rewired. It was a new boiler. It was a brand new kitchen.
Yeah.
New carpeting throughout. New plastering. He'd done a beautiful job on it. Mm. Don't get me wrong, but it was back to canvas.
Yes.
And we said, well, it's on budget. We're desperate. Let's put an offer. We put an offer. They accepted and we bought it.
Yeah.
And it wasn't in the area we wanted.
No.
It wasn't the kind of house that we wanted.
No.
But it was the best of what we could do in
of
the
course.
Time. So we went for it. It was built in 1935, that house. And I knew how to make it gorgeous and beautiful.
Yes.
And I could have done. But the way I described it to people and said, how are you getting on? I feel really ungrateful, really, because I'm in a very privileged position of being able to have a mortgage and buy a house. And I should be very satisfied.
Yeah.
I can't help but feel... And I don't know, and other people that visited said the same thing. They went, I know what you mean. It's got a weird flow to it. But I think because the way it all been knocked into one big open plan.
Yes, blah, blah, blah,
yes. I said, it feels like I'm in a very nice Airbnb.
Yes.
But I'd like to go home now. And
yes.
That's what I kept saying to people. And we were trying painting it. We were bringing in soft furnishings. I really was throwing myself to the 1930s thing, I tell you. I was really sort of trying to sort of, you know. But ultimately it was around... peg in a square hole kind of situation.
Yeah.
And we had a family, very, very awful family event happen to us. And it makes you question things.
Mm.
And I had a conversation with a couple of people, but I thought, you know, it's really made me think about where I want to finish up, if that makes sense.
Yes, it does.
Do you know, in terms of where do I want to be if I was told tomorrow you've got X, Y, Z, you know, this many months, where would it, if you can... end your days at home, where would that home be?
Wow.
And I sort of said, actually, it would be the house that I grew up in.
Wow.
To the age of eight, which is this house. And I said to my husband as well, actually, I found it on Google Earth. And showed him. I said, well, this is the house. I said, and what's great about it is it also ticks all the boxes that you like in terms of, because my husband, similar to me, apart from when I lived in this house, his childhood and background is very much like my own dad's, actually, thinking about it. I never thought about that.
Oh, wow.
That's interesting. Oh. So when he bought his flat, he was the first person in his family to own a property.
Oh, wow, yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
So he sort of said he was aspiring to have a detached house.
Oh, wow.
Detached, because he's never lived in, you know, he's always had neighbours upstairs, downstairs.
Yeah.
So there was that. Having a driveway was a big luxury.
Listen, it's a luxury. I still don't have one, but my God, like Jack has just paved his brand new driveway, and it can fit two cars on. And I'm looking at it, and I'm like, oh God, yes, that's luxury.
It is
that
luxury.
Really is luxury.
Off-road park. You can come and pave mine next because it needs doing. And the great thing about the era of this build is what you don't get with modern housing developments is space.
Yes.
So the houses are not on top of each other.
Mm-hmm.
the actual roads are wide.
Yes, yes.
You know, where my mum now resides on a housing estate that was done about 10-ish years ago. It's a lovely house and lovely houses, what have you, but they are very close together.
They are, and that's happening a lot with new builds. Like, they're you know, where my nan lives, everything is new build now, and the actual land space you get, they're really packing them in.
Yeah.
And, it's a bit suffocating sometimes.
That's the word, it feels suffocating. Yeah. So the houses either side are, you know, the gaps are tiny.
Yes.
But also the houses opposite, the road is narrow.
The road is narrow, yeah. I'm quite lucky where I live, actually, because to say I'm lucky because actually most of the other places around my area, the roads are very narrow. And with no driveway, that becomes quite a problem. But look, I'm quite lucky with that because it does make a difference to have that feeling of breathing space, doesn't it?
Just privacy.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they were built in such a way, planning regulations must have been different. You can hear my dog patting and barking around.
He's brilliant. He just dragged his basket. I don't think we would have got it. I was like, he's dragged it right into that doorway.
He will.
Just to be involved. And I was like, oh my gosh, I really hope that's on film, and I bet it's not. He's a Chihuahua cross, isn't he?
He's a Chihuahua cross with a corgi, so he's called a Chi-Gi.
And you're a good boy. You're a good boy. You're trying to be in the podcast? You're a good boy.
It's okay, you're going, I'm an old dog, leave me alone.
Yeah.
So I looked at when the house was last sold. I thought, it was last sold in 2014.
Okay.
And I thought, oh, well, whoever's there probably won't want to be going just yet then. Because the kind of house it is, it's not a house you come to retire to.
Oh, okay.
I think it's a...
I thought you were going to say it's not the kind of house you ever sell, but you think it's not the kind of house that you end up retiring to and staying in forever.
No, I don't think I think it's a house that you move into when you start growing your family.
Okay, yes, I see
somebody
that.
Somebody might keep it till the end. But I see that. Normally, I think it's where you downsize from. And I thought, well, 2014, I bet it's a young family that's gone in, so they probably won't. So.
Yes, yeah.
Anytime soon. So having just moved into our 1930s house that we were happy in, but it wasn't suiting.
And you weren't at home.
No.
Yeah.
I decided to write a letter. I thought, I'll just write to the house. I'll write to this house and I'll say, if ever you come to want to sell it, rather than listing an estate agent, just let me know first. And I wrote this letter and I didn't post it for a while, and because I thought it was a very silly thing to have done. I thought, that's a very weird letter for someone to get, I won't do it, that's very silly. And then I think I'd had a pretty rough day at work and I got home and I couldn't park my car. And because again, there was no driveway, and I was just so frustrated.
Yes,
I was so frustrated. That never happened a lot. I'm not saying there was never an issue with parking on the street, but it just tipped me over that day.
Yeah.
And in fact, I parked half an hour later because the people visiting went. Yeah. But anyway, I just thought, oh, that's it. I'm going to post my letter.
Wow.
So I posted it, and it would have been, it must have been Thursday or Friday I posted it, because I got an email on the Tuesday.
Yes.
From the owner.
Yes.
That said, it was utterly bizarre. I sat down with my partner on Sunday and we decided to sell the house, and your letter arrived. I think it arrived on the Tuesday morning.
Oh my gosh.
So the timing of it was kind of odd, because he'd just got into, I think, a new relationship, and they were deciding to move on together and have somebody new that was their own and all that sort of thing. So they just decided to put it on the market.
Goodness,
so they were going to ring estate agents that week. So he said, would you like to come and have a look?
Oh my gosh.
And at that point, I was torn, because I was thinking, right, I don't really know what the value of the house is, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be out of our reach in terms of, you know, I was thinking 5 years down the line.
Yes, yes.
But equally, I was like, but I'm being invited to go and have a look.
Yes.
And that's too tempting.
Of course it is. You grew up here.
So quite. So I just thought, well, if I go and I love it and it's right,
yes,
it'll happen.
Yes.
Not into manifesting, per se, but I thought, it'll happen. If it's meant to happen, it'll happen.
Yes.
So I'm just going to go. So we went, so we came. And I pulled up outside and I was like, it's the same windows.
Oh,
it's the same.
Gosh.
The only thing that was different was the exterior wall that my mum had put in, and she was very proud of. Because in the early 90s, it was very fashionable to have these brick walls with the pattern blocks in the middle, with the plinths. And
I know exactly what you mean,
She was very proud of that wall. So that had gone. and a gate had been put on the side, but that was it.
Wow.
And we walked down the drive, and the door's on the side of the house, and we knocked on the door. And I got to the door, and it was the front door. It was still in situ with the same door knocker, the same, you know. I was like, this is bizarre. I'd literally time travelled.
Jeez.
You know, 30 years had gone like that.
My gosh.
And the chap opened the door. And the first thing I remember thinking was, oh, my gosh, it's tiny. It's so much smaller. But of course, I was 8.
You were smaller.
I was smaller. I was like, my God, it's so much smaller than I remember. Obviously, things have been decorated over time. And there is a different kitchen here. But this kitchen that is in was the kitchen that was put in by the people that bought it after us. And the kitchen is, in fact, 30 years old.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Which I was like, oh, I wish they'd left the original in. Because it was proper 1970s.
Oh.
And they boarded up the serving hatch, which, as you can see, I'm reinstating as we speak.
So proud of you for that.
It's having glazed doors put on.
Oh, brilliant.
I've tracked down the right glass and that'll go back.
I can't wait to come for a dinner party here and see it in full flow.
Well,
I really can't.
You'll have to.
Yes.
We'll camp it up.
Yeah.
And people say, you know, this was the ugly area of house building. The houses are ugly and boxy. I think, well, they were for a time completely out of fashion.
Yeah.
But actually, I think now that they are 40 years old and...
Golly.
You know, I think this era, the 70s, and that was once deemed ugly and the era that tastes forgot. I do think there's a new appreciation for it because it's becoming now... its own era. It's becoming its own timeless.
Absolutely. Everything's cyclical. Everything comes back, whether that's fashion or decor or appreciation for music or anything. And I think the 70s and the 80s are circulating again and people are appreciating it.
And this house is so well built.
It really is.
I mean, the developer that built it, their last phase was done in the mid-80s and it's sort of all the way over there.
Yeah.
And that's when they went to their new versions of their houses, if you like, the new way of building them.
Yeah.
And they're tiny.
Yeah.
In comparison, they're tiny and they're built completely differently. Mm. And my brother bought a new build back in 2012. And we've got a like-for-like, really, because this house is a four-bed detached house built in 2012. Mine is a four-bed detached house built in 1979. So this was the equivalent, the vintage equivalent of that house in terms of the market.
Yeah.
And his is sort of, he's got that thing called an ensuite.
What?
You know.
What?
That was a bit of a luxury that came in the 80s, I think, you know. In fact, the newer version of this house does have an ensuite.
Oh, really?
And the master bedroom is slightly smaller because of it. And all they did was they just put a wall in.
Right,
and put in an ensuite for the 1980s version.
Yeah.
So I could do that here and I might do it at one point.
Yeah.
I don't know. But
do you have a bathroom off your kitchen like I do?
No, but I did in my 1930s house, but the door was moved. It was moved from where it was moved from the kitchen to the stairwell.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So originally it would have done. Yeah.
You know what? It's a quirk. And I think one day I'll miss it. I think one day I'll actually be like, oh, an ensuite isn't all that. I miss being able to smell the dinner. My mum making a cup of tea while I'm in the shower.
The
I'll miss that.
But it makes perfect sense, really.
It does. Yeah.
To have it there.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, we came to look at the house and went into the lounge. After the bedroom, I thought, yeah, we want this house.
Yeah,
we came downstairs, we went into the lounge, and it was the lounge that, honestly, I teleported back to early 1990s because it hadn't changed apart from the wallpaper.
Oh, my gosh.
So the dado rail that my mum put up that she was
please,
so proud of.
Please tell the story of the dado rail. This absolutely just gives my soul such joy.
So this takes us to the early 90s. And, dado rails became the thing to have. Any sort of faux plaster work became a thing to have.
Absolutely.
So dado rails, those weird things that you dug a bit out of your wall and you sunk them in and they were like shelves.
Oh, yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes, do you know what you mean.
They were all the rage.
Yeah,
my mum wanted one of those.
Okay,
that never went in, but she wanted one.
Yeah.
Adam-style fireplaces came back with a vengeance.
Okay.
So my mum had her Adam-style fireplace.
Very
she
nice.
Put in her bay window, which is still there.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Causing us all sorts of problems at the moment, because it's 30 years old and it's screaming out to be retired.
Yeah.
The Adam-style fireplace went in, her beloved dado rail went up. But the dado rail, because obviously, unlike now, couldn't afford to have anybody in to do it professionally, properly.
No,
so we went, every August, my grandma would treat the grandkids, that's me, my brother, my sister, my cousins, my mum and my aunt, to a day out somewhere as a family day out. And normally it'd be Skegness or it'd be, you know. And this one year, I vividly remember we went to London. So that was a big thing.
We had
to dress up to go to London,
obviously. Of course you do. Of course you do.
Because that's what you did in the early 90s. So we got to go on a train. We had to go on the Intercity. That was a massive treat. So we got to go to London. We walked around. We just saw Buckingham Palace and things like that.
Mm.
But we did pop into Harrods because that was like a tourist attraction at the time.
Yes, yes.
And so my mum decided that while we were off doing that, it would be the perfect opportunity to entrust the dado rail installation to my dad and my uncle. And obviously, my mum, we didn't have a lot of money, so my mum had spent money on this dado rail. Mm. And we came back and it was up.
Lovely. Great.
It was up.
Great.
And I remember it was one of these arguments that will always stay in my brain, but my mum looked at it. I don't know whether or not, the chances are it was probably me. One of us said, but it's upside down. Or whether my mum noticed that it was upside down. But anyway, she wasn't happy. So this huge sort of, you know, and she wanted it. I remember she said, I want it taken off and put it back on. And my dad's saying, you can't take it off, it's plaster. Because it's like...
Yeah, of course, you can't. And tell me, is the dado rail still upside down?
But that's
down?
The thing, it was still there when I viewed the house. And I said to the guy, I went, I'm sorry. I said, I'm in shock. I said, the fireplace is still here. But the dado rail's still here. When it was, that was here when you were here. I said, that's 30-odd years old.
My gosh.
And he went, oh, my gosh. I thought that was relative. I said, no, that was my mum and dad put that up. So my dad put it up. I said, and it's still upside down. And he looked at us, he went, it is upside down. And he'd lived with it and hadn't known. It was very much like we had left it for probably a few months rather than, you know, 30-odd years.
That, I don't know what that makes me feel, but it gives me some sort of weird weight on my chest when you walk back into somewhere that looks so unchanged. Yeah, but the last time you saw it, were with your 8-year-old eyes.
Yeah.
That's bizarre.
And it's... Yeah, and for some people, absolutely, that would be a traumatic thing, too traumatic to do.
Yeah,
which
yeah.
I appreciate.
Yeah.
But I'll talk about all that later. In the 3-hour podcast I'm doing for you. You'll have to edit this down, Han. I don't know how you're going to do it.
It's brilliant, don't worry.
Anyway, so when we moved in, the first thing, it just got a little bit better. Because with the bay window, my mum's bay window that she absolutely cherished and I'm so proud of, so much so that a neighbour copied it.
Oh.
And had it put in.
My goodness.
And I remember thinking, this is the 8-year-old me thinking this, I remember thinking, it doesn't match the house. And that's all I kept thinking as an 8-year-old. I never said anything. I probably did, actually. Knowing me, I probably did. But I can see why she chose it. I can see why it was very on trend.
Okay,
but,
yeah.
It's wrong for the house.
It is wrong for the house, isn't it? Yes,
you know,
it is.
It's a boxy 70s build.
Yes.
It needs, if you're going to put bay window, it needs to be a square one.
It does.
Not this beautiful,
yes,
ornate.
Yes, bay window.
So it needs to be a big picture window, really. So yeah. I said to Mark, that is going to have to come out.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I'm the one to do it.
Absolutely. That feels right.
Because that's my decision to take it out.
Yes, definitely.
But it has decided itself because it's
died now.
It's dying.
It's given up. Okay.
And so when it rains, it comes in. And when it's windy, you sit
feel
there
it.
And you feel it. And the sun had faded the paint around the window. And I didn't notice till we moved in.
Yes.
And just underneath was a pattern that was very familiar. And I was like, but this is the wallpaper. This is still the wallpaper. They've just painted it.
Oh, my gosh.
And so I thought, was it just around the window that they've done that for? And we took it, we were literally pulling off the wallpaper because it was falling off with all the damp from this window and everything. And behind the featured wallpaper was the wallpaper that Dad had put up.
Bloody hell.
The stripe, because... The dado it was dado, stripy wallpaper, flowery wallpaper.
Oh, wow.
Because that was the trend.
That was the trend, okay.
Put stripy wallpaper on the bottom, a dado rail, and then something floral on top.
Oh, lovely, okay.
Okay. Watch Keep Up Appearances, look at Hyacinth's Lounge.
Keeping Up Appearances, okay, yeah, I will do.
So what I've done is I've sort of recreated the lounge as it was, sort of.
Yeah.
But as if Martin had a say in it.
Yes. Is that the concept for the whole house? Because obviously, you know, you have really... You've done such a joyous job of like bringing that beautiful. So what are we? Are we early 80s?
Well, the era I really like, and I should have been in therapy to work this out. I think I've worked it out myself. The era I have really come to like, certainly over the last year, over the last decade, where we've had a lot of, I think vintage and nostalgia, I think it's no surprise that when something happens that's dramatic, you're drawn to it. And I think it's a form of comfort.
Wow.
And it grounds you.
Wow.
Does that make sense?
It does, yeah.
And I think that because we'd had, in our family, we'd had a horrendous bereavement 10 years ago, followed by another bereavement, followed by all sorts of things that were awful, that I found myself looking back a lot more than looking forward.
Oh, wow, yes.
I felt more comfortable with things that were older than new.
Yes.
If that makes sense.
It makes complete sense.
And I think actually that is what it is. I think it is very psychological. I think it is very, it's comfort.
Yes.
So the era I particularly like is, I love the in fact, I really do like the 80s, sort of mid-80s, the sort of Golden Girls era.
Oh, lovely,
you know,
the yes.
pastel peaches and pastel colours, right through to the early 90s with the neon lights. And
if you want Jack's old plum bathroom suite, just let us know, because he is getting rid of it. Yeah, please. So I'll tell him that.
Yeah. If he can store it.
Yeah, because he's bringing that house back to 1930s, so sadly a plum bathroom suite has not got a home
there. No, but that's spot on for me.
Brilliant, so I'll let him know.
I would like avocado.
I know, I thought avocado.
Can I find one? And I honestly think, I said this to my husband, he was like, it won't happen. I went, trust me. I said, avocado bath suites, they're going to come back.
Oh, they are.
I absolutely think they will.
They are so going to. I even said to my friend Julia about the plum bath suite, and she was like, oh, that's really cool. And I was like, it is coming back, isn't it? Yeah. It's coming back.
I found a plum loo and corner wash hand basin.
Yeah.
I thought perfect for downstairs loo here.
Oh, yeah.
But the loo, bless its heart, it was going to be given away for free, but the loo was, it was smashed all at the side. And I thought, well, it's not even going to function, let alone look. So that was a bit of a disappointment. But I just think, the thing about coloured loos is I think they're very, very warm and friendly.
They are warm and friendly, aren't they? Yeah.
I know people went through a phase of things looking very sanitised, didn't we?
Yes, yeah.
Clinical, I'm sure that will come back round.
Well, that's how I see modern, to be honest, but yeah.
But there's something warm, like the bathroom suite here was originally avocado green.
Oh, love that.
And it only went a few years before,
stop.
You know, because it had a leak. And you can still see the stain on the roof up there.
Yeah.
So he had a new bathroom fitted.
I see.
And it's to be fair, it's what my mum would have chosen.
Oh, really? Bathroom. Really?
It's completely what my mum would have chosen.
Yeah.
And my brother would have chosen.
Yeah.
But it's wrong for the house.
Yeah,
so it's got to go.
Yeah. So what era is, are we in the mid 80s?
For me, I'm in the sort of, I think it's a mashup between late 70s.
Yeah, nice.
And mid 80s.
I agree. I completely agree.
Because this is the era, this wallpaper behind me, this is the era when my mum and dad got married.
Oh, okay.
They got married in 78.
Oh, it really is.
So when they bought their starter home.
Oh, yes, of course. Okay. Just down the street
just
it
down
was.
The street, yeah, the starter home. The staircase was sort of very modern slats.
Yeah.
It wasn't sort of like a traditional staircase, you know, with the fairy carpet on on each step. And they, you know, a featured wallpaper behind it, which wasn't too dissimilar to this probably.
Yeah.
And then a glass table with the, you know, the...
Oh,
the,
brilliant,
So I really like that era, I think, because it reminds me of them in their youth.
Yes,
in their newlywed phase and they're starting out. And so that feels very... lovely.
It's so well thought out. Like it just, the house just screams sentiment, and you've been so thorough with the way that you've recreated, like such beautiful, I would say beautiful childhood memories, you know. And I think you're right about nostalgia. People are, they're going back to an era that felt safer because back then you were oblivious of what was to come, weren't you?
Yes.
There was no misery then because it hasn't happened yet. Yeah.
And it's for me, and it's probably different for other people, but for me, it's not just, you know, a dining suite, which I'll talk about in a minute, or a wallpaper that reminds me of a time, whatever it is. It's because it keeps alive. It brings back people.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing. For me, I think back then as well, I think people do it now, sure, of course they do, but I think there was a big, big emphasis on home and building a home, and home was something of longevity.
Yes.
Whereas I think now, with a disposable way of living.
Yes.
And also the housing crisis that we're all in.
Nobody can buy a house.
Yeah. You can't even buy a home to put down your roots.
No.
And if you buy a home on a mortgage term, will you be able to afford to do it again after the 5 years? Are you going to have to downsize? Are you going to have to go back to rented? Are you going to be able to connect? All these things.
Absolutely.
The longevity with property, unless you own it outright, it's not like it was.
No, it really isn't.
You know, home then was home.
It really was,
And it was, that there were places of real warmth, and I think that era really reflected it, like, you know, like teak furniture.
Yes, yeah.
And
it's just like when I'm in my grandparents' house and I see, I mean, it's changed over the years, but I see the remnants of when, I mean, it would be more when my mum was little, but also I see remnants from when I was little, and I just think, yeah, that's home. That really is home. And I think, I mean, obviously, maybe we should just go to therapy, but we're going to do a podcast instead. All right. But Is nostalgia healthy, or are there downsides? Do you think it's?
I think it's very healthy.
Yeah.
But like anything in life, I mean, fruit and veg is very, very healthy. But if you eat certain fruits and veg, I can't think of what top of my head, I think it's bananas.
Bananas, potassium levels.
If you eat too many of them,
yes.
you know, you're going to run into problems.
Very true. Including the sugar in strawberries and things like that, the natural sugar, too many of them, and you'll be,
Exercise is very good for you, but if you didn't stop at some point, you're going to die.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's variety is a spice of life. But I think vintage nostalgia has to be a part of that. I do appreciate that, you know, we all have trauma in our lives, and some people have horrendous things happen in their life that they avoid ever. They can't. It's too triggering to go there. I completely get that. But even there's something in everybody's life that is a point of, or should be at the very least, a point of, well, that bit was good.
Yes.
That person was good.
Yes.
And I think anything that keeps that, you know, with you.
Yes.
You know, people of faith say, don't they, you know, and, you know, nobody ever leaves you. People are always with you and all this. And I'm a great believer in all that stuff.
As
and that's
am
wonderful.
I. As am I.
And that's wonderful. But it's nice to have something tangible.
Yes. It really is.
You know, that also... You know, like a lot of things, I've got a lot of things here that were family stuff, but a lot of it isn't. A lot of it is, you know, I furnished this house through charity shops and thrifting and all sorts of things.
Yes.
But it's of a time, it's of a different way of living.
Yes.
It's a time when things were slower, there was more consistency, those things were valued.
Yes.
I think relationships were, I'm not saying valued, relationships aren't valued as much now as they were then, but I mean, if you arrange to meet a friend.
Yes.
You arranged to meet a friend.
Yes.
Yeah. And you arranged to meet them by the fountains at 11 o'clock. And that's where you went.
Yeah.
You couldn't at 10:30 go, oh, I'm not feeling it now, send them a text and cancel.
Yeah.
You had to go because you didn't have, you got a way of contacting them.
You saw it through.
So those sort of things were, the whole way of life sort of then was slower, more considered, more planned.
Yeah.
And I think largely that instilled a better version of ourselves.
Yes.
I think.
Yes.
That's my personal opinion. Because I'm guilty of it myself. You can so easily cancel on somebody.
Yes, you
so
can.
Easily.
Yes, you can.
We are very, very disposable. We're disposable to each other. My mum's of that. My mum's generation, I think, kind of buy into that a little bit.
Well, my nan's weird. Not an ounce of nostalgia, my nan. An ounce. To
there
say that she was born in the mid-40s.
Yeah.
Not an ounce of nostalgia. She, like, honestly, if we left it up to her, there wouldn't be an inch of memory left in that house that we all grew up in. I mean, I lived in my grandparents' house because my mum was a single parent.
Yeah.
So all the kids, so my nan had 5 kids, they all lived there. And then I, out of the grandchildren, was the only one that lived there too. And she, if it was up to her, there'd be nothing left of it because she's just not nostalgic at all.
No.
So whereas my grandpa was more so, and he was a real homebody, and he really introduced me into home comforts. You know, a slice of toast and a Swiss roll, and watching, like, you know, really old 40s films. That became home because he just valued that a bit more. Whereas my nan was a bit more of a, she was a bit more of a go-getter. She was constantly moving around. She constantly was looking to the next thing.
I want a new kitchen.
I want a new kitchen.
Yeah.
I, you know, that wallpaper's outdated now. We want the next best thing. Well, next door got laminate. Now I want laminate. And that, I think, is what more and more people are becoming now in the modern world, because nothing feels tangible. Nothing feels like that, you know, it doesn't feel like there's anything to hold on to in the modern world anymore. Because, like, I grew up, like, knowing what the internet was from basically day dot of being able to know things. People coming after me will have known nothing other than internet and social media. And, you know, they're not going to have had a childhood of, like, all your primary school friends potentially coming round, and you have a very simple, joyous... And that's the word, simple.
Mm.
It was about simple pleasures, simple innocence. Yeah. My mum always says that my grandpa was the most innocent man she ever met because he just really enjoyed the simplicity of life and the simplicity of home. And I think now everything is so noisy and complicated, and it's all about instant gratification. It's very disposable.
Mm.
Everything's disposable. Nothing feels sustainable anymore. You don't sustain things because there's an app for it.
Mm.
So nobody sees anything through. You know, people lose interest so quickly. Like, it's ridiculous how quickly people just switch off, and you can't hold their attention span anymore. And I think, you know, my opinion is with nostalgia is, I think, I, you know, some people say it's not healthy because, you know, you're living too much in the past. You need to be in the present. You can't avoid it forever. But actually, I think living in a way that gives you safety and comfort is completely harmless. And I don't think there's any... I mean, now people are like that word, and I never remember the word, anomoia. Anomoia, the feeling of longing of a past that you haven't actually experienced, that is huge online at the moment. Everybody is recreating a nostalgia they never even had. Mm. And is that because growing up is different now? You know, the art of being a child is different now. You don't, you know, the same things don't happen. Mm. Everything's a bit more screen time. And are they now people entering their adulthood and wanting just to turn back the clocks a bit to something that to them feels a bit simpler and easier to grasp? Yeah.
Maybe. But it's interesting that you said that people say, you know, it's not healthy living in the past and all that sort of... Well, I don't think anybody lives in the past because it's impossible.
Yeah. Because sadly, it is, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
The bills are going to come through the door. It's impossible. Yeah. But also, we have, you know, you have jobs. Your beautiful house. But
yes.
I'm sure you don't turn up to work with and get out your 1940s typewriter and refuse to use the computer and say, you know, I'm sorry, I'm a 1940s girl. I have to do it this way.
Absolutely not, yeah.
You'd be fired.
I would be, yeah.
You know... Or would you? Who knows?
Well, the NHS was made in the 40s, but I think they'd rather do it like they're doing it now.
And I think, yeah, I think things have moved on as well with healthcare. We probably need to move through that.
I think we should, yes.
Yeah, I don't see there's an argument there because I think you have your life, you have your people, you have your friends, you have your whatever it is. Your home is something you come back to.
Yes.
And if you're... You know, if you're very working class like us and whatever it is, you work.
Yeah.
So this is where you come to sleep, and you spend actually a tiny percentage of your life is spent in it.
Absolutely. And don't I feel that it really is.
You know.
And I don't think it's delusion.
Because,
you know, like, even like when I've read articles about people who've turned back the clocks, like there was this lovely lad, he was a man, and he'd sort of recreated his grandparents' 1940s home to the nth degree. Every single minuscule detail was the 40s. It was beautiful. And he'd done it just like you, thrifting and charity shops and all that one, and inherited things that he'd been handed down. And, you know, unfortunately, the world isn't forgiving. So a lot of people just, I mean, you know, overall it was positive, but there were some people who thought he was crazy.
Yeah.
And like, what is crazy about that? It's his home. It's his choice. Like you say, the present day is still very much there. Mm. And we're not trying to hide from it. We're just creating a bubble.
Yeah.
So that when we step back out into it, we're a bit more resilient to it.
Well, yes.
And thicker skin.
And it's grounding.
It is.
The reason why people said to me, I could never do what you've done. That'd be too scary, that'd be too triggering and all these sorts of things. And I said, actually, and I have convinced a few people to think differently. They've gone, oh, actually, that's a good point.
Mm.
I said, but for me, I left this house when I was 8, like I said before.
Yeah.
You know, that's before all the teenage angst and all those dramas and all those traumas and all the, oh, well, who am I? Where am I? What's going on?
Yeah.
I've become a mime. Well, I don't know. whatever it might be. You know, it's before all that time. So this is where joy was. And actually coming back here and being here, just within the bricks and mortar and looking out the window and seeing the same view and all those sorts of things, it anchors you back to you.
Yes.
And I know people like to think, this is just my personal opinion, that's my disclaimer, this is my personal opinion, but, you know, that people like to think that you become somebody different. You know, I'm going to move there, and when I move there, I'll be more interesting.
Oh, and interesting,
I'm going to move to London. I've done London. But, you know, I'm going to move to London, and then when I move to London, I'm going to not be, I'm not going to be Martin anymore, I'm going to be M.
Oh, yes.
You know, I'm going to introduce myself as a new person, an M,
yes.
And I'm going to wear a different kind of clothing. I'm going to reinvent myself.
I'm going to become a vibe, a different kind of vibe.
Exactly.
Yes,
and I think, well, yeah, good, if that's what you need at this time in your life. But you know something, having worked with a lot of young people for a lot of years, the adult that I meet, that I met as a child, is still the child.
Oh.
Nobody really changes.
Wow.
In my lived experience, you know, like, you know, the cousins I grew up with, they are just the 40-year-old version of who they were.
God, yes.
I mean, obviously there's things that are different.
Of course there is.
You know, we mature.
Yes.
We get battered by life.
We do.
We, you know, all sorts of things. Mm. But fundamentally, they still have all the same hopes and dreams that they had when they were 8.
Oh,
you know, they still want they still want to be the person they fantasized about being when they were eight. They still want to achieve all those things.
Yes.
And the sad thing about life is that very often we don't.
Absolutely.
We get near sometimes, but very few of us actually get there.
Oh, so
and
true.
And even when we do, it's never what you imagine.
It never is.
So, you know, for me coming here, it's like, and certainly at the time that I bought it, with a lot of stuff going on, a lot of bereavements that we'd gone through, it was like this is like a reconnection and a rebirth and a restarting. Let's go back to what... Who is Martin? What did Martin want? What was that about?
Oh,
so it felt a bit like that.
I absolutely love that.
You know, and within a year of being here, I changed my job.
Yes, you did.
What did Jennifer Aniston say when she left Friends? She leaned into the whole ending thing, didn't she? Is what she said in that interview. You know, she said, I got divorced.
I ended everything. Yeah.
And I really did rebirth everything. The only thing I didn't get rid of was my husband.
Still keeping him. Okay, good, great.
He's very good with the DIY.
Oh.
But seriously, I ended a lot of things.
Mm. How healing.
And it was healing, that's the word.
How healing.
Because, you know, and I think that's why going back is triggering for a lot of people, because you kind of, I think...
Oh, it is, it's terrifying.
Because you kind of think, oh, I never became who I thought I was going to be.
Yeah.
Oh, I never did that, and oh, I did that, and I should have done that, and all those sorts of things.
Yes.
But I think, actually, if you can... It's not right for everybody, but what I learned by doing this is I think if you can go back to something, I found it very, very, very healthy.
I love that. Trying to get comfortable with the you that was.
Because that is who I am now.
It is.
Yeah, I am still that eight-year-old kid.
Yes, yeah.
I still love comedy.
Yes.
I still love drama and television.
Yes, yes.
I still love acting. I still love all those things. It's never, ever, ever left me.
Yes.
I sat in that room, younger than eight, obviously, because I moved out of here when I was eight. The television in the corner of the room where the television is now. You know, watching children's television and watching an episode of Woof. Do you remember Woof? Oh, you're too young. Oh, gosh. Viewers, listeners, do you remember Woof? It was a fantastic television production called Woof for CITV about a lad that turned into a dog randomly for no reason whatsoever.
Great stuff.
He'd just scratch his nose and then you know he was about to turn into a dog. He'd have to run and hide and then turn into a dog.
Wow.
And only his best mate knew.
Cool.
So his best mate had to look after him as a dog.
Brilliant.
And there was various incarnations of that series.
Yeah.
They changed the kids and changed the dogs every couple of years. And I remember watching it and it was like an epiphany. It was happening in that room. I remember thinking... Oh, well, they're kids. They're not much older than me and they're on telly and they're acting.
Yes.
So I don't have to wait to do this thing called acting. I can do it now.
Yes. That love, that dream, that spark, that ignition of something was birthed in these very walls.
Exactly.
In that very room.
In that very room.
Gosh.
You know? And what do I do now? I'm still in the business.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
I'm doing something different within it.
Yes.
And I've done a few things that are different within the industry, but that's always been who I am. And when I take it back to, because I did think when I moved back here, you know, should I go back to acting? Is that what I want?
Mm.
And no, it wasn't the acting that I was in love with. I was in love with the whole storytelling.
Yeah.
I wanted to be involved in the storytelling.
I understand that so heavily. So
you know,
much, yeah.
I wanted to be in the world of the magic of what that was.
Yes.
And I loved actors.
Yes, yes.
With a passion. I still do. But I don't think that would have happened if I hadn't bought this house.
Wow.
I really don't think it would have done. I think I would have carried on being a little bit miserable.
I think that's absolutely fascinating. And I it's made me think about so many things in that moment of all the people that I know in my life and the people that seem the most content are the people who are connected to that inner child and they let that inner child live with them.
Mm.
So like my partner, you know, we still have that playful spirit. We still love what we love and we love it unashamedly and unapologetically. Mm. And, you know, and I think maybe these people who recreate these eras so beautifully are tapped into that childhood them a little bit more because they've built it from the ground up just from memories. And I think it's the people that maybe aren't connected or healing their inner child are probably the ones that are going to carry on being a little bit more miserable. But I think you doing this, it must have been so cathartic. And
yeah, and I recognise it again. I completely recognise I was very blessed with my childhood, and you were as well.
I was very blessed, yes.
Know, in spite of all the obstacles that were there, yes. In everybody, I think yes. In every working class sort of family environment,
yes.
There's financial issues.
Oh, yes.
You know, yeah. But huge challenges.
Yeah.
But I was very blessed and very lucky, as you were, in that, in spite of that, yes. There was enough love around there for it to... And not everybody has that.
No, they don't.
So I do recognise that this wouldn't be right for everybody at all.
It wouldn't, no.
But I think for those of us that it is right for, I found it to be a really lovely thing. And don't get me wrong, I'm not, you know, I'm literally, as you said earlier, I'm not living in 1979. I haven't got my... whatever it was, television that was powered by gas, whatever it was. That yeah. Remember, have you seen them in the wooden
casing? I have seen them,
gosh,
yeah.
We had one and you turned it on. I remember, oh my gosh, you turned it on and like 5 minutes later you might get the picture.
No way.
Because it used to like appear.
Oh, yes.
Slowly, slowly, oh, slowly, slowly, you know. And it didn't even have a remote.
Oh my
gosh.
Know,
you were very posh, you had a remote. And then when the picture went, you'd lose a colour, so everything would be green.
Oh,
you know, I remember. I thought Bette Lynch, like Gilroy, had green faces for a year. You know, in Corrie. But you know, so yeah, when the tubes went, that was it. When the tubes went in the telly.
Oh, I see.
Not
yes.
Very expensive to replace, so yes. We just lived with it for a while.
But I get what you're saying. You're not living no. Like it's the.
And that
80s.
Would be, and that probably would border on the
yes.
Eating too many bananas.
Yes,
situation.
I think it would.
Because then you are disconnecting from...
reality in yeah. a way, yeah.
It's
yeah.
not... This is for me, you know, choosing that wallpaper. Mm-hmm. Doing, you know, I must stress, I'm not creating the house as it was.
No, no.
Because my mum and I have very different tastes.
Of course, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
So, yeah, it's inspired.
Yes.
And it's peppered throughout... like this, you know, this coffee pot that I'm serving coffee
it's
from.
So beautiful.
This was my grandma's.
Oh.
And was in her china cabinet in her house, and it only came out at Christmas.
Oh, right. Yes, of course. Oh, yes. Note, shall go, we?
Oh, shall we?
Shall we?
We shall pause.
We should. Let's have a little pause.
That's all right.
Oh, thank you.
Well, I must hold on to the
good
lid.
Good paw as well.
Very good
A good paw.
Paw.
So how old will she be?
If she was alive now?
No.
Oh, my grandma. Oh, gosh.
Oh, well, how old would your grandma be if she was alive now?
I think she would be turning 100 this year. My great aunt would be way, who I adored.
Oh.
And who is very heavily inspired in this house. My
fantastic.
Great aunt. She was a spinster, she never married. You remind me so much of her, actually, Hannah. Oh. You're very kindred spirits, I think.
Oh, I wish I could have
she
met her.
She never lost the 8-year-old version of herself, but she was super intelligent and she was in the WAFs, the Women's Air Force during the war.
Oh, wow.
And she was an engineer. So she was. She used to wire up the
yes.
Lancaster bombers.
Oh my goodness! Amazing.
So the woman wasn't not yeah, intelligent.
Absolutely,
she was very, very bright. And wow. She always used to say, "You know, mine always came back. She never lost a bomber."
She sounds awesome.
But a very fiercely independent woman.
Yeah,
fiercely independent, and she was engaged. I think she was engaged twice, if I remember certainly right. But after the war, as a lot of, you know, men did, came back from the war. Her fiance came back. And he got it in his head, you know, obviously he'd been through trauma and all sorts of things, but he basically turned around, so he came back and went, right, so we're moving, we're emigrating, we're going to live in so-and-so-and-so-and-so. And basically, as those kind of relationships ran, the woman would normally go, oh, yes, okay then.
Yes, yes, yes.
She told him to do one. She was like, I think not. You know, nobody's telling me what to do. And that we're talking late 40s.
Goodness me.
1940s. So he went.
Yeah.
She wasn't having any of that.
On his bloody own.
And exactly. She's very, very heavily inspired because she used to say to us, her life advice, which I will not give down the microphone, it's not really suitable for a friendly daytime podcast, but her life advice was brutal and so, 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 so good. I can say a couple of things that she used
Go
to
on,
say.
Go on, give us a couple
she,
of tidbits.
She used to say, if ever we said we're having problems at school, somebody's bullying us, or somebody's, you know, somebody's being difficult, she'd say, act daft, Doug. Just act daft, because you're no threat to anybody when you're daft.
Oh,
and she had
brilliant.
This theory that if you were a threat to somebody, you were a target.
I have to say,
you know.
We might be more kindred spirits than you think, because I myself and her, because I do that too. Sometimes I just, if I'm very much like, oh, I don't want to be involved in that, I can already see where that's going, I will just back away by playing a bit daft. I don't know.
Then you're not there.
And then you're not a threat. Nobody cares what you think I have to say, and you've escaped that situation. I've done it many times.
Well, she told me this brilliant story, which is when we were in the WAFs. Sure, the great thing about the war was that it broke down social class barriers. I was training with girls that were, for want of a better word, posh girls. She's a wonderful woman. She says, I forget this woman's name, but she says, anyway, so she starts with us training, and she's very posh. She's all, she's doing the impression of it. She's all mummy and father and papa, yes, and all this sort of stuff, and the country estate and all this. And she went, now then, she says, I clocked it straight away. I thought, you won't be getting the train home. You'll be having a car sent for you. I'll make friends with you. And she says, one week, she says, I made the mistake of beating her in a test. And she didn't like it, so I didn't get a lift. So she says, I made sure the next week, and every other week we had a test, I didn't quite beat her. I made sure.
Oh, my.
You know what I mean? It
goodness.
Was that level of intelligence, yes, sort of like, she didn't need the status of winning.
Oh, she sounds absolutely brilliant.
So, you know.
And it shows how human nature never changes, because it's still wildly competitive out there now. It's just that we can visually see it more, and it's more accessible. Well, me and Jack were talking about this, that the art of comparing yourself is it's huge now, because it's so easy to compare yourself to others, because you only have to go on your phone and 5 minutes in you can see someone who's got more money than you and more successful than you and more their career's gone better than you, and they've put in that pool they wanted. They went to Japan and you wanted to do that. And
yes, but the reality of that, I always think, is, you know, this hashtag living your best life now and all that stuff.
Oh, yes.
I mean, as an idea, I think, live your best life now.
Of course,
Do it in the little things. Don't do it in the big things, because the big things will often be a disappointment.
And that are status-driven a lot of the time as well, you know, those big things. I mean, obviously, there are people who genuinely have saved up really, really well, and then they've gone to Japan. I did it, you know, and that was a big thing for me. But I think nowadays, you're right, the joy in the little things, the joy of the task.
That's where the truth is. Actually, that stuff is not really...
No. You're right, it's not the makeup of they're not the good bits, are they? They're the nice bits. They can be the nice bits, but
as a friend of mine said, they fill the time before death.
They fill the time before death. Thank you for listening.
I liken it to when you go to bed at night before you go to sleep.
Yes.
And you have you're with yourself for a little while.
Yes.
I think, well, that's pretty much, if you are lucky enough to gently ease your way off this planet.
Yes.
That it won't be too dissimilar to that. Hopefully pain-free.
Yes.
It won't be too dissimilar to that. And what is this stuff you think about? Mm. And I honestly do not sit there in bed at night gleeing over somebody brilliantly famous I met and who really liked me, or the fact I made a film with so-and-so, or the fact that I represent this amazing actor. I don't do that.
No.
I actually think about people that are no longer with us. I think about conversations I've had with people that really matter to me. I think about wonderful memories of just sitting on a beach somewhere with somebody in a conversation we had once.
Absolutely.
Those are the things I think about. Yeah. And I think ultimately that's what is probably going to be there at the end.
Absolutely.
I'm not going to get to read my own obituary.
No.
So I'm not bothered what it says, really.
Yeah.
Because that's for other people anyway. Yeah, I try and kick into the gut of the whole disposable, must achieve, must become, must be seen to be. Mm. Because, you know, I think if you're happy within yourself as much as you possibly can be, not everybody's 100% happy. It's impossible to be 100% happy in, you know, 100% of your time. You're going to know sadness in little bits every day.
Yeah.
But as long as, you know, you're relatively happy, you're kind to people, or you at least try to be kind to people if you get it wrong sometimes, then you're doing pretty all right.
Absolutely. So if I was to ask you about a vintage versus modern lifestyle, I think you've already answered the question of, we live in the modern world and we can't escape that. But what we can do is build a life for ourselves that could be of any era. But as long as it's one of comfort and safety and allows us to connect with who we really are and who we always have been, then I think that's pretty much a key to happiness.
Well, that's what
it
is. I mean, what are memories if not vintage?
Oh.
You know. Write that one down. Write that one down. But... but they are.
Yes.
When people say, I don't do vintage, I'm not into vintage. It's like, well, you just talked 10 minutes about your grandma. I mean, those memories are vintage.
They absolutely
you know,
are.
So we do need them. You need to know where you're going, you've got to know where you've been.
Oh,
Write that one down.
That's very... you are just banging him out now.
I don't know if I'll be able to keep this house forever.
Yeah.
But, you know, circumstances may mean that I may have to sell it, or I may have to move on, or I may have to relocate, whatever. But I hope not to. I hope to try and retain it.
And it's a beautiful, beautiful home. And one more thing before we finish. This is a very important question. I wrote it down to get it right.
Okay.
What is an agadoo?
An agadoo, an agado, as you thought it was.
I thought it was... Martin had a 1980s soiree at Christmas. It was bloody brilliant. And he sent invites out. And he'd said, 1980s dress optional, agadoo compulsory. But I read it as... I read it as agado. And I thought, agado compulsory. And I thought it was like an hors d'oeuvre. So I thought we had to bring something like a tray of like baked goods or something. So I ran around the office, you know, asking all these women who are obviously they're older than me, you know, what is an agado? And the looks I got. I mean, obviously, I now know. I mean, I did know anyway. I just read it in my silly brain. I took it so literally. I do know the song Agadoo, but what is it? What is an agadoo? What are they singing about, Martin?
I would suggest that you listen to the lyrics a little bit more carefully and you might get it.
Okay. Okay. That's the best place we could have ended this. Thank you so much for your time, your energy, and again, as so many people are doing right now, giving me a therapy I never know I needed. This has been a delight.
You're very welcome.
And thank you so much.
You're very, very welcome.